January 25th, 2024. A full-face mask is placed on Kenneth Smith as he lay strapped to a gurney in a small theater. An officer stands outside of the room and presses the button that releases pure nitrogen gas into his lungs. Though this experimental method of execution was expected to render Kenneth Smith unconscious in seconds, his entire body shook for at least 4 minutes, followed by another several minutes of intense breathing. The nitrogen gas flowed for 15 minutes, and Smith was pronounced dead after 32. A reporter witnessed the execution and described it as the most violent reaction she has ever seen to an execution. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor came out with a statement after this execution saying that Alabama has selected him as its guinea pig to test a method of execution never attempted before. The world is watching. This is Julia Arp, and you are listening to the Global Capital Podcast, where we are going to talk about the death penalty, the spread of its abolition internationally, and how this is met with resistance. The death penalty has been a common international practice for centuries. Not until 1970 did the international community begin to push for its eradication. There was a common perception that the death penalty was the best deterrent against crime, and many countries believed that this was the best way to provide justice. So what has changed? The international non-governmental organization, Amnesty International, has played a huge role in trying to abolish the death penalty globally, launching an official international campaign around 1980. Using tactics such as protesting, lobbying, and naming and shaming, Amnesty International was able to put pressure on countries that had controversial death penalty practices. In the 1980s, the EU made it legally binding for member states to abolish the death penalty, though many already had. This is an example of what scholars would call the world society approach, where international organizations carry world cultural ideas into domestic contexts. Within the decades to come, Europe essentially became a death penalty-free zone. These actions led to the creation of international standards regarding the death penalty. International standard setting was a key strategy because to abolish the death penalty, citizens and governments needed to change their ingrained views about the benefits of the practice. These standards include only using the death penalty for the most serious of crimes and refraining from executing certain people, such as juveniles, new mothers, those who have gone insane, or those with limited mental competence. The ultimate goal, though, was to create a standard that the death penalty is an outdated, gruesome punishment. One country remains the only Western democracy to resist these international standards, and that would be the United States. More and more countries are giving in to international standards and abolishing the death penalty, including countries such as Mongolia, Sierra Leone, and Kazakhstan. Why does the United States maintain its use of the death penalty, despite being really the only country in the developed West to do so?
Well, I support the death penalty for terrorism that leads to murder. I always have.
They rendered a verdict. And once the jury's spoken, that's how our system works.
We have to bring back the death penalty. They have to pay the ultimate price.
Let's look at the case of Troy Davis, a man who was executed for allegedly killing a police officer. This case received extensive international support due to the belief that he was innocent. This pressure ultimately did not work, and Davis was executed with a lethal injection of the drug used to euthanize animals. The U.S. has justified its use of the death penalty with statements that the use of lethal injection is very humane. Typically, this looks like a series of three injections. The first to render unconscious, the second to paralyze, and the third to stop the heart. A common perception in the United States is that as long as the practice can be perfected and conducted in a complete, quote-unquote, humane way, then it is perfectly acceptable to keep as a reasonable form of punishment. International organizations are not the only ones on the global stage against this practice. Some of the largest medical manufacturing companies, such as Johnson & Johnson, are increasingly refusing to sell their products for executions. Rather than getting on board with the international standard, the U.S. is experimenting with less humane methods of executions just to keep the practice alive. While there is extensive evidence that tells us the death penalty does not effectively deter crime, political leaders in the United States, such as Donald Trump, view it as the best option for issues such as eliminating the country's drug problem.
I'm going to be asking
everyone who sells drugs, gets caught selling drugs, to receive the death penalty for their heinous acts.
They don't have a big drug problem in China. They have a thing called the death penalty. In China, if you're selling drugs, it's death. It's the death penalty.
Despite the evidence against it, Trump draws on China to explain how execution is directly linked to eliminating crime. The U.S. is typically looked at as a standard, but in this case, it stands alone. Looking at the U.S. as an outlier allows us to understand how extensively the abolition of the death penalty as an international norm has spread to the rest of the Western democracies. There does not seem to be a clear answer as to why the U.S. won't part ways with the death penalty. We can learn, though, that since this is the only country stuck in their ways, the rest of the Western democracies were highly receptive to international standard setting by Amnesty International. International efforts to convince the U.S. to conform to these standards are still ongoing. There is evidence that this pressure does work, as the U.S. eventually came around to banning juvenile executions in 2005. On the other hand, there are bills being proposed in Congress for women that seek an abortion to be eligible for the death penalty. The case of the death penalty is a prime example of how international pressure can lead nations to conform to international standards. The United States, as an outlier, shows us both how much progress has been made and how much remains.